Welcome to the Data Able podcast, where Dave Mathias and Matt Jesser dive into data. Each week, they cover the culture, knowledge, and practices that successful organizations, leaders, and individuals use to get value out of data.
In the last episode, we were talking about good visualization. Let's turn the tables a little bit, Dave, and talk about some bad visualization. Do you have any examples of bad visualization?
I'm sure some people are listening right now and saying, why aren't they talking about the pie chart? We haven't talked to pie chart. What's your thoughts on a pie chart, Matt?
Well, Dave, I've lived by this motto for a long time that if a chart is named after food, then I don't like it.
I like it. Yes, we might like pie, but probably not pie charts in our visualization. So I think that is a good rule to be live by. But if you did go do that pie chart, because we know some people do, the one thing for sure never to do is one of those 3D pie charts and never have more than 3, 4, 5 things on a pie chart. So I'm just putting this out there because I know some people are going to still say, hey, I need to do a pie chart. And if you're going to do that, if your executive wants to do that, at least do a good pie chart.
So I agree. Pie charts are generally frowned upon in the more elite data visualization circles. Let me explain why. They're not necessarily bad on their face value, but there are two things that generally knock against a pie chart. One is that the human eye generally has a really hard time distinguishing angles. Our eyes are really trained to look at straight lines up and down. That's why a bar chart works so well, because we can very easily compare the distances between two different bars. You put those same bars and you turn it into a pie chart, and our eyes don't recognize or can't discern very well a 15 degree angle from a 17 degree angle, where you can. If it was 17 and 15 on a pie chart, on a bar chart, you'd be able to see that very easily. So angles aren't really conducive to the human eye and interpreting the data. The second one is something that came out from research from some of the originators of the data visualization school of thought. And the idea here is your data to ink ratio. So visualizations in general should use as little ink and as little space as possible to tell the story or provide the information that it needs to provide. And so if you have, let's think about a pie chart with only two slices of the pie. Maybe there's like a one pizza slice, and then there's the rest of the pie. And maybe even that one slice is like exploded out, you know, it's like moved out a little bit. So it's like you pulled the pizza back a little bit. And it has the numbers inside of it, right? You could show that visual. And it's taking up, you know, a big circle on your space. Or you could literally just say the number. So if it was 17%, you could have just said it's 17% and gotten the exact same effect. And you would have used a lot less space and a lot less ink to tell that exact same story. Instead, you use this big blob on your screen, and all it's really doing is giving you the 17% that you already could see from the text. So the data to ink ratio is very poor in a pie chart. It isn't very efficient.
That is well stated, Matt. And I guess one other thing I think at this point we haven't touched on, but I really think it's actually an important point that when people are talking data visualization, people should be thinking about tables too, because tables really play an important role in the right scenario. You don't have to visualize all data. And even in a table, you're visualizing data. You're just visualizing it, you know, in a table, and you can add color and you could even add spark lines and other things like that if it made sense. But I think, you know, really understanding, and sometimes data from a data visualization, some of it doesn't need to be visualized and put into 1,000 different charts and graphs. Sometimes it's textual and you're writing out that story. So it really, what I say to folks is understand your audience, understand what you're trying to convey to that audience, and what's the most rational, easiest way to convey that to that audience that's, you know, logical to them and will help them get to the conclusion you're trying to help them get to. And I think that is, you know, that could be words, that could be data visualizations, that could be tables, etc. So the other thing you had brought up, Matt, you're talking about the minimalist side and some different views. There's a lot of different folks out there sort of talking about different levels of complication. Some people look at, you know, the purpose of data visualization is you should just be able to quickly in a second or two process it. And some people, yeah, I mean, you go to like a New York Times article where you see some really fantastic data visualizations, and it's really a more of a deeper processing element with that data visualization. Do you have a strong view one way or another that, you know, how data visualization should be used?
Yeah, I think you hit on something really important that I would be remiss if I didn't talk about, and that's knowing your audience. Your audience really matters when it comes to data visualization. So when you're creating a visualization, asking yourself who is going to consume this and in what format or medium are they going to consume it, and how do you want them to consume it? So there's going to be very different styles when you're creating something like an infographic that is really meant not so much to convey a lot of information as quickly as possible to get a decision, as it is a marketing tool to get eyeballs to stay on your content as long as possible. So infographics are completely fine, and to have a lot of fluff and a lot of color and a lot of extras, you know, animations and stuff in it is totally fine if your intent isn't so much to inform as it is to create marketing and branded content. On the other aspect or in the other spectrum, if my data visualization is intended to go to a senior leader in my organization, I definitely don't want any extra fluff that's taking time away from that leader understanding what they need to understand and then moving on. Right? A leader in any organization has very limited time. And so short, succinct, nice and sweet information quickly is going to be the key. And so you're going to remove all of that fluff and make it very minimal, but very impactful. So those are kind of the two ends of the spectrum. And there's certainly a lot of play in between there that you're going to have to make a decision for yourself. How far down the creative and fun path do you need to go versus the more rudimentary and minimalistic path?
And certainly you're right, Matt. People will fall somewhere in that continuum of things. And one thing we haven't talked much on, and I think this might be a future podcast in itself, is dashboards and dashboard design. But I think one of the things when people go right to visualization, I think that's maybe the first thing that people are starting to go, because dashboards are really popular in organizations. What's sort of if you're going to give the ABCs for somebody that's putting together their first dashboard, what would those be, Matt?
First off, understanding your audience and understanding their need. So before you create anything, you need to frame the problem and the behavior that the end user is going to take based on that dashboard. The second thing that that I would do is determine how comfortable that user base is with more or less design. So if I'm building for a innovative marketing team who spends time, you know, building creative content all day long, they're probably going to be more open to some different visuals than, say, creating a dashboard for the CFO, who typically would be more of a numbers person. So thinking about your audience. And then three, sketching out some really simple visuals that you could get in front of some of those key people, some of those key users, and getting their thoughts and iterating before you actually create something. In general, you're going to want 4, maybe 5 panes total. You're going to want to put the most important content in the top left of that visualization. And you're going to want to make it as interactive as you possibly can with whatever particular tool you're using to build that dashboard. So allowing that user to explore, drill into the different insights and get the answers that they want. Those are kind of the three pieces that I would think about.
Yeah, I think those are great starting points. And I think we'll probably do another episode that dives into, you know, what's everything somebody should know when they're putting together their first dashboard. But I think those three steps are the key starting points that get people along on the right direction.
The Data Able podcast is produced by Dave Mathias and Matt Jesser and made possible by Beyond the Data. At Beyond the Data, we are on a mission to help high-performing individuals successfully become champions for a more data-driven approach in their organizations. We believe that data science is only part of the equation. Getting value out of data requires building a culture that starts with you, is supported by executives, and trickles down to every facet of your organization. You can learn more about Beyond the Data and our approach at gobeyondthedata.com.